presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control towers. CX-4 calling control towers. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Feeling 1,200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Gang, for commercial and military use, air power will someday be the most important means of traveling around this world of ours. Most people recognize this as a fact. Among them are military commanders. A good example of that is the air education course given to about 600 West Point cadets this past summer. You may know that West Point has an aviation course of its own, and every year hundreds of cadets graduate right into the Air Force. Army officials decided to send those 600 cadets on a first-hand tour of America's air bases. The first and most important object of the tour was to give these future Army officers full understanding of air power from the Air Force viewpoint. The trip was planned and supervised by the Tactical Air Command and the Army Ground Forces. Those two commands are among the most cooperative of all our military forces. The nationwide trip got underway one morning in June when the cadets, divided into two groups of 300 men each, boarded 12 Fairchild packets at West Point Stewart Field. They were well prepared for the mission, for just before the tour, they were given a long lecture on the organization and mission of the Air Force and its major units. The lecture explained the jobs of tactical and strategic air commands, air defense, air transport, and all the others. The boys were also told the trip was more than just a sightseeing jaunt. They were to be given carefully planned short courses on air power. And in just a few minutes, gang, I'll be back to tell you more about what those cadets did and what they learned. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Confronted by a series of crashes as a result of testing a jet-propelled flying wing, which the U.S. Army had under close scrutiny, Hop and Tank began a thorough investigation, which thus far has netted them absolutely nothing, except two vicious attacks on their lives. Circumstantial evidence points heavily to Carla Davis, a spot welder and trusted assistant of Simon Gore, the designer of the flying wing. And in our last episode, the boys' suspicions increased. They overheard her talking to someone whom they followed through the dimly lit tunnels of the underground aircraft plant to a door opening out on the Black Mesa. However, they weren't fast enough to catch him, and he got away by car. Hop and Tank re-entered the plant, and the lumbering mechanic stopped to examine a small switch immediately over the door. He reached up and fingered it curiously.
Hey, that guy did something with this switch up here. Wonder what?
Never mind, Tank. Get out of the way. Let me close the door.
No, hold it a second. I want to see what happens.
Oh, come on, Tank. Stop playing around.
There. Jump the jake. The alarm. Tank, watch it. The door's charged. Clank, shut. Don't touch it. You'll be electrocuted.
Hey, I'm losing my battery.
Look out. Look out.
Even as Hop shouts a frantic warning, Tank teeters and falls toward the electrically charged door. Hop lunges forward, then realizing Tank's weight would be too much for him to handle, he springs into the air, one hand reaching wildly. The tip of his index finger hits the switch. He flicks it off, just as the lumbering mechanic crashes into the door.
Tank, are you all right?
I banged my elbow, but I'm okay.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but gosh, if you hadn't reached the switch and turned off the current,
I'll forget it.
Forget it? Look, I would have been killed.
Oh, we were lucky. Come on, close the door and let's get away from here before the guards show up. They'll ask questions.
Too late. We're going to have to think up some answers.
Stand where you are, you guys. A little show.
Now, take it easy. Take it easy, Sergeant. We're not going anywhere.
All right, who are you? What are you doing here?
Yeah, looks like they busted in, sir.
Get those mitts up. All right, Pete Friscom.
Hey, quiet down off your high horse. We can explain everything.
I bet you can. Keep those mitts up.
Now, listen, Sergeant.
Well, Pete.
Is it clean?
Okay, stand it back up and keep your gun trained on him.
Now, look, Sergeant, this is a little
silly. Nobody is asking you. Keep your yap closed.
Hey, who do you think you're talking to?
That goes for you, too. That stuff.
Back up!
Well, you dopey pinhead.
All right.
Hey, wait, Tank. Here comes the Major and Mr. Gore. They'll straighten this out.
Lucky for you, jerk.
Sergeant, what's going on here?
I found these two guys trying to break into the plant, sir.
Hello, Major.
Tank.
Oh, you know him, sir?
Of course I know him. What's the meaning of this? Who rang the alarm?
Major, I can explain everything.
Now, do we have to stand here?
Look, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know.
That's not his fault, Major.
All right, men. Back to your post.
Yes, sir. All right, come on, Pete.
Next time, Sarge, don't be such a wise guy.
Now, Hup, what's the meaning of this?
And how did you ever find this door? We never use it.
Someone used it tonight, Mr. Gordon.
Oh?
Who?
We don't know. Now, Tank, you better close it and reset the switch.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hup, will you please explain yourself?
Carla Davis had a visitor tonight, sir.
Carla?
You think it's safe for me to close the switch, Hup?
Yes, if the door's closed.
Yeah, it is.
How do you know Miss Davis had a visitor?
Tank and I overheard them talking through the ventilator shaft. This fellow...
Who was he, Harrigan?
I don't know.
Didn't she call him by name?
No.
Was he someone working here in the plant?
No. He went out this door. We followed him.
He sure knows his way around.
He even knew enough to turn off the alarm switch before he opened the door.
And if he turned off the switch, what set off the alarm?
That was my fault, sir.
Or, did you have any idea who Carla's visitor might be?
No, not the slightest. Well, they seem pretty friendly.
Well, do you know any guys she pals around with, Mr. Gore?
Can't say that I do. She doesn't say much about her private life, and frankly, I don't particularly imagine her having a boyfriend.
And that's all there was to it, huh? He just visited her?
Yes, sir.
He wanted...
Thanks.
Huh?
Did you start to say something, Tinker?
Yeah, he wanted a date.
Oh, that's odd. He certainly went to a lot of trouble to get it.
Well, gentlemen, since this was a false alarm, I'm going back to the lab. I still have a lot of work to do.
So late, Mr. Gore?
Yes, I'm running the fourth model through the wind tunnel in the morning, and I want to reinforce the bracing around the cockpit, as you suggested. It's a tough nut to crack, frankly.
And you boys need some rest.
Boy, I'll say. Well, let's go then.
Well, I'll see you all in the morning. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. I'll walk you back to your room, boys.
Oh, thank you, sir. Hey, Hop, why did you shut me up before?
There's no point in spreading too much information around.
Oh, there is something else you have to tell me. I thought so.
Yes, sir. Carla and the guy we followed, they was arranging a date.
Yes, but not with each other. He wanted her to see someone in Yellow Creek tomorrow.
Who?
He didn't say. Give her a card, I think. I'd certainly like to get hold of it.
And?
And that's all. Tomorrow's Carla's day off, and she's supposed to see someone.
She don't even know what it's all about.
Which certainly makes it even.
I see. Yeah, I'd better assign a man to follow her.
Oh, why not let us do it, sir?
Please, sir. I'd like to get out of this joint for a change.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Gee, thanks.
Down this hall now.
Hey, is this close to our room?
Yes. Miss Davis' room is down at the end. Don't talk too loud.
That fellow certainly led us a merry chase. I wonder if he knew we were after him. Oh, well.
Here you are, boys. Now get some sleep, will you? You both need it.
Yeah, you ain't kidding, Major. Good night, sir. I'm sorry we disturbed you.
Oh, that's all right. See you in the morning.
Right. Night, Major. Oh, boy. Me for the hay, but fast.
You won't get there any sooner than I will, chum.
Turn down the bed, will you?
Yeah. Just when I'm going to...
Huh? What's the matter?
We've had a visitor.
A visitor?
Yes. This piece of paper was on the pillow.
Oh, great.
It's from our friend, the one who spoke to us through the ventilator.
How do you know?
Listen to this. I give you a second warning. Leave Black Mesa before sunrise, or you will die.
Again, a grim warning of death. This time, scratched in pencil on a torn piece of paper. Gang, there's a lot of suspense ahead, so stand by.
Now, getting back to that West Point nationwide tour of our air bases, gang, let's take a look at where they stopped and some of the things they saw. First of all, at Fort Benning, Georgia, the sharp-eyed future general saw a demonstration of exactly how enemy territory is taken and held by airborne troops. They watched 70 planes in a full-scale offensive, including a mass parachute jump by the 501st Parachute Infantry Battalion. Still another show was put on for the cadets by two fighters staging an aerial dogfight. Also, there was a demonstration of evacuation of wounded troops from the battlefield by the glider pickup method. At another parachute jump demonstration, squadrons of fighters and speedy twin-engine bombers fired machine guns, rockets, and bombs in a softening up operation.
At Wright Field, giant research and development center of the Air Materiel Command, the cadets spent several days inspecting new planes and laboratories. They put on coveralls and climbed all over ships like the new P-61 Night Fighter, getting acquainted with many up-to-date features. Another important stop was Langley Field, Virginia, home of the great research center operated by the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics. At each stop, the cadets studied a typical air command as it is set up today. They learned how the different branches of the Air Force would operate in case of any emergency. No attempt was made to test the cadets for air service because the purpose of the flights was strictly educational. But Air Force leaders figured the 27-day instruction tour would make many cadets join the Air Force as soon as they graduated from West Point as second lieutenants. They're air-minded. And gang, it'll pay for you to become air-minded, too. If you want to get into aviation someday, get ready now. Always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. The long, restless night has passed, and far from being refreshed, Hop and Tank rise heavy-eyed and weary. Their sleep has been disturbed by dreams of whispering voices and wailing witches. Dressing, they leave their room and proceed through the tunnels of the underground aircraft plant to the central mess hall.
Oh, brother, what a night. What time is it, anyhow?
8:30.
Uh-oh. Past the deadline.
Deadline?
Yeah, don't you remember what the note said?
Of course I do.
Yeah, we're living on borrowed time. We were supposed to clear out by sunrise.
Hey, you didn't think we would, did you?
Not exactly.
Well, we know one thing at least.
Something good, I hope.
That whispering voice didn't belong to Carla Davis' visitor. He couldn't have left the note.
That's easy to figure.
And by the way, keep your eyes on Carla today. I want to know when she leaves for Yellow Creek.
I'm going to keep my eyes on everybody.
Hey, where's the mess hall? I'm hungry.
It's at the end of this tunnel.
Tunnels. It's all they got around here. Why'd they have to build this plant underground?
Maybe they told you. For security reasons during the war.
Give me the creeps. Come on, let's step it up. I want to see some people.
Don't be in such a hurry. Maybe some people want to see you. For other reasons.
Half joking, Hoff points out their danger from a lurking, shadowy enemy as he follows Tank down the corridor toward the door leading into the mess hall. He is completely unaware that the one person who wants to see them for other reasons is less than 20 feet away behind them, following cat-like, silently hugging the shadows of the wall. When the boy is near the mess hall door, he stops, raises his arm, and the dim, soot-coated electric bulb overhead gleams in the shiny black barrel of a revolver.
Gang, you won't want to miss action-packed episode number 8 in the chilling mystery of the Wailing Witches. So tune in and fly with Pop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Go on, Hop! We'll be seeing you same time, same beautiful station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine and is brought to you Monday through Friday, same time, same mutual station.